feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
I know your name is Rita, because your perfume is smelling sweet. Since when I saw you down on the floor, get up.
And tonight on the Rita Cosby Show, I was so happy to hear that at Columbia's campus, there was a pro-Israel protest that took place in support of Israel and the Jewish students there. A friend of mine just sent me an amazing picture. It is so beautiful to see them waving the American flag and waving the Israeli flag. And we're told that it was peaceful, that everything was okay, it went fine, and it was a good crowd, and obviously a very, very positive occasion. And I thought that was a wonderful testament. We need to see more of these pro-Israel rallies taking place around the country, not just on Columbia's campus, but certainly others. And let's see what happens with the encampment there. As the clock is ticking, they're supposed to be removing it. But so far, the president at Columbia seems to be acquiescing at every turn to the pro-Hamas protesters, anti-Israeli protesters, and we'll keep you posted on all of that. By the way, it also looks like that at the International Court, and this is an amazing moment that could be happening as early as next week, that at the International Criminal Court, there will be a prosecutor, a British prosecutor nonetheless, who is going to be in The Hague. His name is Karim Khan, and he's going to try to bring a war crimes case against Israel. This is just crossing. This is amazing. Saying that what Netanyahu and his Israeli defense minister and head of the Israeli army and chief of the general staff, that they are guilty of war crimes for what they have done in terms of trying to eradicate Hamas in Gaza. I find that despicable at a time that this is happening in the world. Where's the International Criminal Court going after Hamas? Maybe they should start with Hamas. Maybe then next could be Hezbollah. Maybe there'll be some other layer to it. What about the Houthis? You know, I mean, come on. This to me is crazy. And I think that the U.S. should protest, and they should protest loud and clear. They should not just sit around and say, oh, let's see what happens. That seems to be the way that Joe Biden has handled this matter. Meantime, today, we are just getting word, by the way, that in a recent interview that President Trump is saying he will testify if necessary at his trial. That's some new news just coming in. Remember, he said that he would testify. He'd like to testify. Now it sounds like he is saying he will testify if it's necessary in the Bragg case. Maybe that's a sign that he's sensing, like all of us. First off, clearly the prosecutor wants to bring in everything in Trump's background, including the kitchen sink. That's one thing. And the other issue is also maybe he's seeing he may not need to testify because so far the case in New York looks like it's going kaput, kaput, kaput. What did you make of the fact today that the issue is on these catch and release of stories, this sort of catch and kill, it's called? And it was interesting because the head of the American media company, which is the National Enquirer, came out and said, you know what? We've killed a lot of stories over the years. We killed ones about Schwarzenegger. We killed ones about Tiger Woods. And also he said that Trump sold more magazines than almost anybody else, that he was a windfall for them. And that they wanted to do stories that would draw people in to tune in and read the publication. that it was a business issue. I mean, if that's the standard, you look at some of the other media out there. There's a lot of media out there that intentionally, if you look at like a place like even MSNBC, if you look at them, you go, whoa, wait, they're promoting certain things. And then there's other stories that they essentially kill. You often don't see border stories on MSNBC. You're likely more to see them on a place like Fox or elsewhere. You know, I mean, that's what happens a lot of times, that certain stories get certain elevation, other ones get diminished. That's not illegal. I think if you say you're a news organization, you should cover everything. But the National Enquirer can do whatever it wants. It's privately owned. It can do whatever it wants. And so if that's the case, are they going to go back to Schwarzenegger and say, okay, you're actually charged with something? Or Tiger Woods, we got to pull you off the green because we got to arrest you for doing something? I mean, so far, where is the crime? And this also comes as President Trump was in the U.S. Supreme Court and he was dealing on the immunity issue. And this is a big deal because they are trying to say that his actions tied to the election, of course, of 2020 on January 6th and in the classified documents and other things, they're saying that all of that should not be covered by presidential immunity, that they're going to go after him for certain things that he said and did. Trump is saying that he was president, that that's why he was looking into issues tied to the election, because he believes that he, as the head of the country at the time, the president, had a right to make sure that they were free and fair elections. It's an interesting point. So should he be covered by presidential immunity? The Supreme Court today seems to think like they might try to thread the needle and say, well, certain things maybe were covered by presidential immunity or were official acts. Some of the others maybe were not. So, I mean, there's a lot of issues here that come into play. But overall, if you're going to do that, you could go after Biden and say, well, maybe what he did in Afghanistan, maybe that's a criminal act, some of the things that he did there. Maybe he should be prosecuted. Should he be prosecuted for asking for that drone strike that took out 10 people, including the aid worker and the kids? Remember when they did the strike and he said it was payback for the bombing at Abbey Gate? It's a really slippery slope. And here is President Trump today after court talking about the need for presidential immunity, saying it's not just for him, but he says it's for every president.
And today we had a year because I was forced to be here, and I'm glad I was because it was a very interesting day in a certain way. But the U.S. Supreme Court had a monumental hearing on immunity and the immunity having to do with presidential immunity. And I think it was made clear, I hope it was made clear, that a president has to have immunity. You don't have a president, or at most you can say it would be a ceremonial president. That's not what the founders had in mind. They're not talking about ceremonial. We want presidents that can get things done and bring people together. So I heard the meeting was quite amazing. And the justices were on their game. So let's see how that all turns out. But again, I say presidential immunity, very powerful. Presidential immunity is imperative, or you practically won't have a country anymore.
He has a point, because it is a slippery, slippery slope. And it looks like the Supreme Court, they're not going to make a decision right away, but they will obviously very soon. They have to. The session ends, of course, this session in June. And you would think they want to hurry up and try to come back with something. But it looks like it might even be a split decision where they're going to say, well, maybe in certain capacities it is covered for presidential acts, for official acts versus private acts. Then it's going to go back down on each case, like unclassified documents. His team's going to say, well, this is an official act versus a private act. And then it's going to end up in appeals, and then maybe it even goes back to the Supreme Court. But the summation of all of that, if that turns out to be the case, it means that probably these cases will not see the light of day if they end up sort of separating the issue and saying, first of all, if they say that he has full presidential immunity, it's case closed on those cases. They're going to be gone faster than a speeding bullet. It's going to be gone. The classified documents case, and especially the January 6th case. But if they say, well, certain acts should be covered, other ones shouldn't, then it's going to be litigated. Then there's going to be the back and forth on each of the issues, each of the cases. All of that will tie up and the clock is ticking. And again, that means that it probably will not happen before the election. And here is Jonathan Turley also saying that Alvin Bragg and the way he has presented this case in New York City, well, he's helping Trump on the immunity issue. Listen to this.
Alvin Bragg is probably the best lawyer Donald Trump has right now. He's making the case to the Supreme Court that there needs to be an immunity protection because he's the problem. This is exactly what the court was worried about. You've got these Democratic district attorneys clearly politicizing the criminal justice system. The Manhattan case is legally absurd.
It is interesting. And by the way, as we're again, news that President Trump is saying that he would testify in the Alvin Bragg case, quote, now, if necessary. And this comes as President Trump is also being told by the prosecution that it's a never ending sieve, that he can bring in the E. Jean Carroll case. He can bring in anything he wants to in this case. And he may have gotten some big news and good news today of all people from the Harvey Weinstein case, because that case in the New York decision got overturned. That's a huge deal. Harvey Weinstein won the overturning of the case because essentially the judge said in the appeals court on the New York stuff, he's still behind bars in L.A. for 16 years. But separate than that, in the New York case, the judge that overrode this is in the appeals court, said, wait a minute. The judge in the lower court during the trial allowed all these like past witnesses in, and these women, some of them were not with cases where there were even any charges that were brought, and that it was unfair and it prejudiced Harvey Weinstein. So he got that case overturned. Now, Bragg may end up refiling that and retrying that case. But the fact that his case was overturned could send a message that judges better be careful not to give too much latitude, even if they don't like the defendant. And you could certainly make that the case with Juan Marchand, who is there in the Alvin Bragg case. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll take your calls, everybody, when we come back.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Coming up, we are going to talk about these anti-Semitic protests that are taking place on college campuses, so much so that the University of Southern California just canceled their main graduation. How sad is that? And maybe other schools will follow. Also, a number of cases where they're actually chasing police officers. There was the case of a deputy NYPD chief, Jim McCarthy, the other day. He and his officers were arresting somebody, which they have a right to do. And guess what? They were chased by this angry mob all the way to the police station because they were mad that one of the protesters, who was certainly disrupting and doing a whole bunch of issues, according to police, was arrested. Well, then they chased him and then they were banging on the doors. I mean, what would have happened if they got through? What were they planning on doing at the police station? It is downright frightening. And people need to be reined in. And here was our president today, President Biden. He was in New York. He was in Manhattan. He was in Westchester and he was in Syracuse. Somehow he didn't make it to any of these college campuses or didn't make it to the airwaves to call for calm and call for these people to stand down. This is the time they should be stand down. And if you don't like America, get out. We're going to talk about that after the break. It's the greatest country in the world, and we got to start appreciating it. These people are spoiled brats. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Jacqueline. Line 4, Jacqueline, your thoughts about the Trump case.
Hi, Rita. You know, I wanted to ask you, but you explained it before the break about the Supreme Court ruling today in regard to the Harvey Weinstein case. So this would affect the confidentiality sham case against President Trump because they want to bring in everyone going back to the time he was born that has any kind of dirt on him or alleged dirt on him. So my understanding would be that they wouldn't be able to do this. Bragg wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah, that's right. See, if he was a baby and he was in the crib and he hit the crib, they're going to bring in a witness who saw him hit the crib. And that's going to be, I mean, yeah, you hit it spot on because that's why it's interesting that at least they could, you know, every case is different, but they could certainly say, hey, look, because in this case, they essentially said that the judge in the Weinstein case, and it's not like Weinstein is a sympathetic character. I mean, there are a lot of women who came forward. But if you look at it, they said you can't be bringing in these people. He wasn't charged in some of these cases. Some he was. But they brought out all these different women. Remember, it was like half a city, it looked like, came out to testify against Weinstein. And they said that the judge was prejudicial by allowing that because, of course, it impacted the jury. The jury said, gosh, if he did all these other things, well, then probably he did what he's accused of today. And that's exactly essentially what Bragg is trying to do. Bragg said, and you know, it's, you know, what is also shameful, Jacqueline, that in this case, what's interesting is the minute it came out that Trump said, I may testify or I will testify is what he first said. I plan to testify, he said. Bragg came out and said, if he testifies, then we will put all these people on the stand. So not only is he planning to, and it looks like the judge would allow him because the judge seems to give him free rein, he's not only saying, we're going to bring in all these other people to say past bad acts, whether you're charged or not. He's also threatening, in a sense, trying to cut off his Fifth Amendment rights, his rights to be able to, you know, defend himself. I mean, that's what's interesting, because you are allowed to defend yourself and take the stand. And by Bragg saying that, it's almost trying to shut Trump off from getting on the stand. So there's a lot of things wrong with this, Jacqueline. And that's why I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying, un-American, un-American, un-American. And that's why I think it's just so dangerous. And you have to have equal law for everybody. And even people you don't like. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't like Harvey Weinstein. But if the judge was against him, Trump is watching that too.
Rita Cosby is on.
Well, I am all for great music, and I'm also for story time for kids. But this one is one for the record books. And boy, these free Palestine folks, and many of them espousing such just horrible hatred toward America, it's got to stop. And where do you draw the line? Because now there are protests anywhere from 50 to 100 college campuses across this country. And a lot of them where things are just getting out of control. We're going to play some audio in a little bit of a deputy NYPD chief who was being chased by an angry mob. And it was him and I think it was like two or three other officers at the most. And you see like hundreds of these protesters just chasing after them. That is really, really scary. And things are just going to get even more dangerous and even more perilous. And that's why when there's bad behavior, you got to clamp down on it early. You should not let it fester. And these people have absolutely let it fester. They have continued And Columbia's case in point. Remember, even when she was testifying, she couldn't even figure out what's the right answer to give. And then now this really is a doozy. This story is coming from Amherst, Massachusetts. And people are just outraged. I'm outraged by this when I hear this. There was a Palestinian American activist and also an author of a book called Queer, There and Everywhere, 27 People Who Changed the World. Well, that should have been a sign. And the person who was talking was a drag queen. And you see the crowd, it's like all these young kids. They look like elementary school. I think they're elementary, and I'm seeing elementary and preschool. Wow, I'm not surprised. They look very young. Elementary and preschool. And this drag queen gets up in front of the class and starts chanting and saying, repeat after me, sort of using like a nursery rhyme. This is really frightening. This is something you would think you would see, you know, at, you know, maybe in one of the Palestinian territories. Because remember, there's a history of educating people not to like the Israeli in the education books, in the history books there. You often hear about it, that they take history, you know, Israel off the map in some of their history books. And this, to me, is something you would expect to see like in Gaza or the West Bank or somewhere. But no, this is in America, and that's what is so chilling. Listen to this drag queen doing queen story time for Palestine to elementary and also preschool kids. Take a listen.
Today what we're going to do is we're going to shout Free Palestine. Can I hear that?
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it and you really want to show it, you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
Free Palestine!
Excellent.
Can you imagine these little kids? Were the parents fully aware of what was going on? And how many other locations and schools like this is this happening in America? This is not a madrasa. This is an American school. And that is what is downright frightening. And this comes as we're hearing about many, many more arrests. As I talked about, Southern California, USC, which is traditionally, even though it is California, it's a little bit sometimes more of a conservative school, which is interesting. They've had a lot of problems. They arrested over 100 people there. And now they have decided that they're going to cancel the main stage graduation. How sad is that? That to me is abominable that these people have won. Just like the rabbi who said it's not safe for Jewish kids on Columbia's campus. And now they're doing remote learning there because they're too scared to go, understandably. These schools should have a backbone and say, guess what? These are going to happen and everybody's going to get removed who's protesting. And anybody who says anything anti-hate, I'm all for free speech. I am not for this vile hate speech that's going on. And things are getting really dangerous. And this is where it's also continuing to cross the line. It's like bad behavior. The president didn't clamp it in. The university presidents didn't clamp it in. So it's going on and on and on. And there was a case recently. It is really horrifying to see. You should check out the video if you get a chance, because it's heartbreaking that this is happening now. And these are the, quote, peaceful protesters, remember? The other day, some of them were throwing bottles and hitting a chair over the head of police officers. That's not, quote, peaceful protesters. And then the NYPD deputy chief, Jim McCarthy, you see it on videotape, it's posted, and you hear this, a mob swarms, this is at NYU, swarms him and others, and then he rushes into the police station, him and the other officer, I think it's like two other officers with him, they're like running away from this angry mob. I mean, this is scary times, you guys. And listen to this, you can hear a little bit of what's going on, and does this sound like a peaceful mob?
You
screaming and then they were pounding on the door. Even if you are trained in law enforcement and trained for mobs and all that other stuff, you are outnumbered. And horrible things happen when suddenly there's a big, huge mob and there are just a handful of armed police officers. That's really, really, really scary. And so to add fuel to the flames, Democratic New York Congresswoman, part of the members of the squad, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she tweeted this out on Tuesday, complaining that Columbia University, quote, made the horrific decision to mobilize NYPD on their students. She further said, get this is a member of Congress. The units that were called in have some of the most violent reputations on the force. That's an amazing comment. Like these monsters came onto Congress, came onto campus and took these people out. Calling the NYPD officers who were asked by the president to come in and to break up the unruly crowd, shouting vile things, that they had some of the most violent reputations on the force. And so the NYPD came back and said, I was with these units last Thursday that you're describing. These units remove students with great care and professionalism. Not a single incident was reported. Responding to AOC, you can just tell that the NYPD is absolutely fed up with the shenanigans of AOC. And here's AOC, by the way, because her and now her daughter are also showing up on campus. And they came back after all this. They came back to Columbia. And listen to what Ilhan Omar said. She doubled down and said, these protesters, everything's fine. There's no violence whatsoever. Listen to this.
They don't want their tax dollars to be complacent. And for the member who said, you know, like, don't waste your parents' money. They don't want their parents' money to go in supporting a genocide that they oppose. And so I do believe that history is going to be on their side. And these members who think this is a political opportunity to turn the world against these people who are standing for a morally just right cause are going to be looked at and mocked in history.
That's amazing. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez shouts that they're the most violent reputations of the NYPD, like these monsters coming on campus as officers are surrounded. And then her fellow squad member Ilhan Omar and her daughter go back to Columbia and stoke the flames some more. Here's a little bit more, because not only did she say they're on the right side of history, I guess saying pro Hamas, we love Hamas, and let's do October 7th and again, she hasn't condemned that. I mean, that's despicable. And so she also condemned, get this, Speaker Mike Johnson, who showed up there. He was on, of course, Katz and Cosby yesterday, talking about his press conference there with other members of Congress. And this is what she had to say. This is Ilhan Omar blasting Speaker Johnson, saying not that he's trying to give security to the Jewish students, because that's why he was there. I say bravo to him. She said, no, she condemned him for showing up, saying it was mean to the protesters. Listen to this.
And it is not surprising that he would out to Columbia University and stir up really more anger and hate and endanger the lives of young people who are at the encampment at Columbia University.
So Speaker Johnson, not the people shouting pro-Hamas. Those are the ones, him and his fellow Republicans who are trying to protect Jewish students. They're the ones creating hate. It is shocking. And this is what happens if you don't stand by your allies. And if you don't, from the top down of U.S. leadership, make it clear who you are with. You're with what, Hamas? Or you're with our ally, the Israelis? 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Larry, line 4. Larry, your thoughts.
You know, Marita, as far as I remember, Barnard used to be for girls mainly, and Jewish Orthodox girls that excelled in their studies in high school they would typically go to Barnard. It was for modest girls who didn't want to socialize with boys. And a lot of Jewish girls, I'm not going to say it was for all only Jews, obviously not, but Jewish girls gravitated there because they didn't want to mingle, Orthodox Jews, they didn't want to mingle with boys.
So what's your point? What's your point, Larry?
My point is somehow Ilhan Omar's daughter ends up at Barnard. She hates Jews, Ilhan Omar. She hates Zionists, but she sends her daughter where the Jews are for some reason. And that's very typical. You know, in Brooklyn, the Muslims settle around where the Orthodox Jews are because they know the neighborhoods are safe and everything is good. It's civil and everything, but they hate them from a distance. But when it comes to their own lives, you see what they choose. They choose to live among Jews. So she's a big damn hypocrite. She had every college in this country to go to, including Harvard. But she chose Barnard, where the Jews go. So go tell me about that. That's my envy is what that is.
Well, and it's an interesting point that obviously she, like you said, she could have gone anywhere and obviously thought it's a great school. And you're right. There's a history there of many Jewish students who go through there, just like some of these other schools. I mean, Columbia, too, also has a big NYU. A lot of them. I mean, you think about it. And that's why I think so many of these really powerful alum are going, what's going on? Even Barnard alum and certainly alum of NYU and Columbia. I mean, we've heard already Bob Kraft, remember, who owns the New England Patriots. He's like, what is this school that I went to that used to be, you know, welcoming to Jews and heralding Jews and everybody? And you're right. I think this is just an enormous wake up call. Larry, you know, it's also shocking to me, to see what we're seeing on so many of these campuses across America. I never imagined seeing this. And when I hear, people that have come out and said that they're equating it to some of the worst moments in world history and like, you know, in the 1930s in Germany, and sort of leading up to it, it's chilling. And some of the rhetoric, sadly, reminds us of that time. And that is heartbreaking to hear. America is better than that. And that's why it's important that this leader, the president of the United States, should have clamped down day one. He didn't. And I think he and the leaderships at these universities, they did not set a good example, a good moral example for these young people, because it's disgraceful and it's scary, really, really scary. Larry, thank you very, very much. And everybody now, our Support Our Heroes segment.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment. Check out Tunnel to Towers. They do so much incredible good for America's heroes. And this powerful story coming from Little Rock, Arkansas, where a state representative presented retired Major Jock Davis from Russellville, Arkansas, with a citation from the House for his years of service enlisting in the Arkansas Army National Guard during World War II. At the age of 17, Davis joined as a combat engineer. He said, I lied about my age to get into the Army. They sent me for basic training. I spent 8 weeks there. I came home, hugged my mama, came back, and they shipped me overseas to New Guinea. The veteran fought the Japanese all the way to Manila, Philippines, while serving alongside Arkansas National Guard native General Douglas MacArthur, who, of course, is a decorated five-star general. He said the bomb was dropped in Hiroshima, and we were waiting in an apartment building for a ship to come and take us home. He said, all of a sudden, I decided to go downstairs and get some fresh air. Coming out of the general headquarters, there he was, General MacArthur. Well, he certainly was a big, big piece of history, and how beautiful to see this Arkansas native honored for his great work and also heroic work in World War II. Bravo to him and all the great members of my favorite, The Greatest Generation. Of course, I love all the veterans. You know, I have a soft spot for all of you and appreciate all of you, men and women in uniform. And everybody, all it takes is just $11 a month. Donate $11 a month to the great Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Be sure to check them out. Go to T2T.org, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, T2T.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
And let's see what happens with the, quote, autonomous zone, if you will, the encampment that is bursting there on the campus of Columbia and at other ones. The president of Colombia, I really do believe, first of all, she lost it a long time ago. A lot of people are saying she should resign. And if you look at the history, she keeps saying, okay, I'll give him another 24 hours. I'll give him another 24 hours. I'll give him another 24 hours. And meantime, Jewish students are saying, what about our safety? I think there's going to be so many different also lawsuits, civil rights lawsuits, because of course, every student, no matter your faith, color, creed, you should be able to go to school and feel safe. There are so many questions here. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Sandra, line one. Sandra, your thoughts.
Well, a couple of things. I have to say that I'm very proud of John Fetterman. First of all, he's standing so firm about anti-Semitism. And I even saw today he was wearing a suit. So he's starting to dress for success. I'm terribly ashamed of AOC. And I think it's on account of her, like you said before, that the police are being mistreated and disrespected. And, you know, it comes from the top. And that's very troubling. And then I wanted to say that, you know, Rita, if people don't like it here, I really think we should pay for them to leave. Like, we'll pay for the airfare, get the hell out of here, and go somewhere else if you don't like it here. And even like Omar and her daughter, those two should pack their bags and leave. I'm just kind of fed up.
I am too, Sandra. I hear you, because I feel like if you don't like this great country that's given you so many opportunities, can you imagine if they were speaking out and some of these other countries, it'd be like, it would last about 5 seconds. They're not appreciating the greatness and the incredibleness of our great country and the freedoms. They're taking so advantage of it, and it's terrible. Let's go real quick to JC. JC, your thoughts real quick.
Two things. Briggs is like Nero playing the violin while Rome is burning. AOC is a joke. If I was a comic and I started talking politics, you'd tell me to shut up and tell a joke. Well, AOC is a congresswoman who has a congressional district, and she ignores her constituency. Her district is an illegal immigrant outpost.
Well, and also I hear what you're saying about Nero, because you're right. It's like the streets are burning and they're defending the protesters.